And welcome back to the Constitutionals Podcast. I'm your host, Chad White. If you didn't know, this is the premier podcast for the website, cpluscomedy.com. Like I just said, it's a website. Go there. Welcome back. 283.5. We've got a very special interview. I don't think I've ever said the points out loud. I don't think I've... It's just it's just how I organize things. You know, usually, before I introduce who the comedian is, the person I spoke to, usually, you might notice if you go back and look at some other interviews I've done, some other interludes between episodes, you'll see, oh, it's like... It's 201.87 or 198.44. And then it's typically when I used to do that, it was just what year was this person born or what's a funny number I could put in. And then at some point I had five interviews or so just like in my back pocket, and I had to put them out. And sometimes I had to put them out, you know, side by side. Instead of and miss a regular episode, and I grew tired of having to stack episode numbers. So I didn't want to have to put, you know, 204.62 and then 204.99 because it was too much. So now I try to stagger them out, and also I just use 0.5 because it's way easier. Because it's what it is. It's an interlude. It's halfway through. Speaking of which, we're halfway through this intro. How long has it been? I don't know. I'm talking to Rob Hayes. He's a very funny comedian. He's putting out his second comedy album. It's called Frontin'. It's already out. Not he's putting out. It's already out. I talked to him about, doesn't matter when I talked to him. Talked to him a little bit ago. And it's available wherever you find your comedy. You can stream it. You can buy it. Why don't you support the person that you like listening to and just buy it? So you have extra comedy things. Who cares? You know, if it's funny, then you'll be listening to it over and over again. That's how people used to do it. People used to buy Steve Martin albums and George Carlin albums and just have them on vinyl or something. They call them records. It's about 15 years released after the start of his comedy career. And he calls it it was released on March 2nd because he calls it the 31st day of Black History Month. It's a little joke you got there going on. The album's pre-order had already happened. And you can find the video version on Rob's YouTube channel. And as I said, the audio album is out wherever you find it. Rob Hayes, he was on a writer and performer on Sherman Showcase on IFC, which is a fantastic show. And one of the creators of that show, Diallo Riddle, I spoke to. And you might know Bashir Salahuddin from, let's choose a movie, Top Gun Maverick. He was the black guy, one of the black guys. You'll have to figure out which one yourself. He was also on the sketch show Sneak This on Bleacher Report Kix. And his first album came out in 2019. That's called Hayesopedia. He's done stand-up on all the great late-night shows, The Late Late Show, The Tonight Show. He's been on Comedy Central, Vice, and he also has a podcast, which is in tone with what everybody has, which is good. Rob and I had a delightful conversation. He's a very funny guy, very down to earth. And he's from Atlanta, we have a couple of ties together. Two ties, exactly two ties. That's what a couple is. He happened to be in Atlanta performing the same night that Beyonce was performing, which means I was at Beyonce. No big deal. Yeah, I got tickets. Ticket. I was alone in the rafters. It wasn't that high up. I was on the first level of the top top. No, the middle one. Excuse me. It wasn't the top. I was in the middle. Yeah, I spent some money. And we both worked at CNN at separate times. And CNN both did us dirty. So there you go. Rob Hayes, he's a funny guy. I think you should check him out. I know you should check him out. You can follow him on Twitter, at Rob Hayes, Hayes with a Z. You can follow him on Instagram, the same name. And then you can also check out everything. What I really like about him is, yes, he's a funny guy, but also his YouTube channel is just packed with videos. It's got his video version of his podcast. It's got stand-up. And also, yes, it has the special, which you could still check out. Rob Hayes, frontin', out now. But also, our interview coming up after this. If you want to see a video version of the interview, you can check out it on youtube.com/viewpluscomedy under the interviews, which is the interview series, the video version of the show. You can also see video versions of the main feed of this podcast, the main line of this podcast. You want to mainline this podcast, it's cool. As well as the other two podcasts I host, Late Night Lately, which is the late night show, and LinkedIn Logs, which is the jobs podcast, the business podcast, you know, the serious one. It's still pretty funny, though. It's the CNBC of podcasts. It's my CNBC podcast, essentially. You can follow us on TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at C Plus Comedy, me, at Chad Black White, and tell your friends, listen to the other podcasts, and enjoy Rob Hayes now. Yeah, it's a month, right? It's coming out. Well, I mean, by the time this comes out, this will be out a little bit after. But okay. Yeah, you've got time. I saw it on the YouTube already preloaded and everything. This is exciting for you.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's been a long time coming. This journey started 2019, and then the pandemic happened, and then I had a lot of time to think about what I wanted to say and what I wanted to do. And honestly, I probably would have chickened out. I honestly would have like just had another collection of just random funny things and maybe not gone into more like a vulnerable place, you know, without the pandemic. And then some streamers were talking to me about doing a special and then they pulled out and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna do it myself. So yeah.
But I bet you feel a lot more freedom taking on the special by yourself. So you don't have to be constrained to, Netflix didn't like this, Hulu didn't like this, Prime says you should do this. So now you have this kind of outlaw-ish type deal where you can just say what you want, edit it the way you want it to look, and then put it out.
Correct. Yeah, like I'm not responding to notes. I am the notes, you know, and I get to do some of the stuff I've always wanted to do. The first frame of the special is like a nod to Richard Pryor's Live in Concert, which is like one of my favorite comedy specials, but it's also a reference to what was going on in the city at the time, because I made the mistake of filming the same day as Beyonce's Renaissance tour was in Atlanta, and so a lot of the people that, you know, might have pulled up couldn't because they had tickets to see Beyonce. And yeah. So when people see the special, they'll know exactly what I'm referencing. I don't know if you can spoil the first second, but
you can go ahead. Yeah. what day was that?
That was August 11th, 2023.
Okay.
So yeah, there are some references that are already not true. In the special, there are already some things that are already like, yeah, there's a favorable Puff Daddy reference. There's a there's a reference to there not being a 21 Savage statue, and Drake ended up making a 21 Savage statue. No way of seeing that coming. But yeah,
you know what? I hate to tell you this. I just looked at the calendar. And I might have been one of those people at the Beyonce Renaissance concert. I forget either I went Friday or Saturday, but I was definitely there.
Okay.
So I'm so sorry. If I would have known, I would have showed up. I would have pulled up for you.
Apologize for seeing Beyonce. Same city. I'm going to see Beyonce over Rob Hayes every time. it's amazing that I showed up. I already had tickets to see her in Vegas, or else I probably wouldn't have been in the building for my own special, you know?
Yeah. How was the Vegas show?
It was incredible. I don't know what happened the night before, because there were people, they're like, each, I try to block myself from all the social media and stuff. So whenever something Renaissance would pop up, I would save it, but I wouldn't watch it because I wanted to be surprised. But it was incredible. There were times where I'm like, oh, if she ducks the hard part of this song, I get it. They're remixing around the song. And then she'd go back and do the hard part. And I'm like, oh no, she's just mixing up the songs, but she's still doing all the work. Like she, yeah. And like, I think an hour and a half, normally a comedy show is like an hour and a half. So after an hour and a half, I was like, man, that was a good concert. And then my fiance was like, she hasn't even done like the songs you like off of the new album yet. And I was like, yeah, I haven't heard Move. I haven't heard Virgo's Groove. I haven't heard Come Over. I haven't. And then I was like, oh yeah. And then she came out and she did that whole run, America's Got a Problem. And I was just like, oh my God, this might be one of the greatest concerts I've ever been to.
I had such a good time, but my seats were I was all the way, I was kind of like in the middle section on the side, so I didn't see a lot of the screen, and the woman next to me was drunk out of her mind, li like literally slamming her body into my arm, where I like to a point where I had to kind of like puff my arms out so that I looked bigger so that she wouldn't keep doing it. But it was a good concert. I enjoyed it. And I heard for the Friday show, I saw a news report that said people were able to buy tickets, and but they wouldn't seat you in front of the stage. They put you behind the stage, behind the screen. You couldn't see anything. You could only listen to the show. And that was just for the Friday show.
Okay, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I could never do that. All right. Now, I'm reading the press release earlier today, and it says this special, the everything you're putting out for Frontin' comes after 15 years of you doing stand up. What do you think took so long for you to be ready to put something of this substantial out?
I mean, honestly, it's really I mean, well, I put out an album in 2009, so that, it's really been 5 years since I put something out. This is, what you're hearing is not going to be the greatest hits from, 2009. I'm not going to be like, yeah, man, Tiger Woods, he got in trouble, y'all, Michael Vick, like, yeah, I'm not gonna be talking about stuff from all the way back then. But experience wise, I think everybody's journey is different. Some people, they get specials before they're ready. Some people get specials, after, I think I specifically for this one, I had something that I really wanted to talk about, and it made crafting and forming this one kind of a fast process and kind of easy. And so, I think it's time. It's a good time now. Yeah, 'cause no one their first few years in a stand-up should be doing or ch attempting an hour-long special. I feel like I got good at 5 minutes by doing 5 minutes. I got good at 15 by doing 15. And so, now I'm doing 45 to an hour, and that experience is lending me, the ability to feel confident in putting out a longer special.
Yeah, it's this is the cliche of it all, but it's Malcolm Gladwell's 10,000 hours. You put in the reps, and now you can play in the game and do it smartly and in the right way and everything. I completely understand it. It makes sense, and that's a very practical way of looking at it. And I mean, even looking at your 5 minutes on Tonight Show, Late Late Show, and Vice, and the Comedy Central, those are all such varying platforms. Two of them are late night shows. One of them is a comedy-based channel. The other one is a website where people learn about drugs or something. What was it like doing? Because I still think the pinnacle. I kind of like have an old mind about it. The pinnacle of doing comedy is hitting the Tonight Show, doing these late night spots. What was that like for you going to the Tonight Show and getting on the Late Late Show stage as well, performing comedy for late night audiences that now can watch them online?
I mean, for me, when I did late night, I felt like I was the last of my peers to do it. A lot of the people that I did Montreal and a lot of festivals with, they were already kind of getting their late nights and everything. And so me feeling I was like I was looked over and getting all these notes and you know, kind of drove me to make an undeniable set. And so my goal was to make an undeniable set. And you know, when I auditioned, I crushed it. And then the day I found out I got it was the day after my father passed. And so my brain was just totally in a different space. I was you know, I took my mom and my sister in a room and I was like, "Hey, I just got this. Do you guys think I should do it?" And they were like, "Yes, you know, go for it." But at the same time, I was just like, you know, if I didn't do the Tonight Show, I might have been pulled away from stand up. You know, I think you know, knowing that I let that opportunity go, and then also just where I was financially, I might have been pulled out of New York and out of doing stand up for a long, you know, period of time, and no telling, you know, I didn't even know what was on the horizon as far as the pandemic and stuff like that. But also there was a calmness there because I'm like, I just been through the worst thing ever. Whatever happens on this stage can't be, you know, as bad as that. And yeah, but I'm a traditionalist, you know, I know the history of the Tonight Show and what that means. And, you know, there would be times where people would ask me what late night show would I like to do, and I would always say the Tonight Show. And so, you know, and it opened so many doors. And I mean, I went to the church with my mom. It was Beatlemania after that. People wanted to sign the church programs and stuff. I was like, I wasn't on this, you know, it was just I wasn't up there, you know, but
Yeah,
yeah.
Jesus is looking down, going, "Hey, nobody wants my
Hey,
signature. I wrote that for 3 days. I turn water into wine, baby. I can walk on water." He's got sunglasses on. Now you could you don't have to answer this, but my dad also died in the past couple of years as well, and I think you know, with you saying that you could have been pulled out of comedy entirely, did you get a chance to grieve in that process? Like, especially having something so big come after another event that was so big?
Not initially, but I think eventually, you know, I think stuff like that gets hard. You know, when it comes to stand up and everything, my dad would watch all the late night shows when he was sick, and like he would record them on his phone and send them to me, and I'd be like, you know, we got YouTube. Like I don't, there's a better way for me to see this. You know, you don't have to do that. But he was really excited and like really you know, he was really into it. And you know, he was like, one day you're gonna be up there. You're gonna be up there, don't worry, you know. But yeah, I don't know if I think I definitely felt didn't feel like I had time to grieve at first, but also I like, you know, I also felt like my back was against the wall. And so, you know, you gotta eat, you gotta figure out how to make money, you gotta figure out how to live. And so I think after figuring out how to live, I was able to like kind of process what I went through.
Yeah. You seem like you are an avid fighter when it comes to that, and then as well as things like your career, because if it's something that you want, something that you can't live without, then you're definitely going to keep striving for it no matter what. And you know, even you can look on in hindsight and say, "Hey, I would have been pulled out, but maybe that wasn't your path initially." Even if you had those feelings, you can say, "Hey, like that just wasn't my path, and it was always meant to be." Now, after doing something like this and releasing this on YouTube and kind of going this renegade rogue route, what do you see is next for you? Do you continue? Obviously, you have to continue making jokes. That's the dumb answer, but dumb question rather. But do you see yourself striving for more past stand up? Do you want to get out into acting more, see, throw your hat into whatever pond that you can find?
Yeah, I mean, I've been writing. One of the doors that initial Tonight Show opened was me finally getting into writers' rooms, and so I've been writing consistently since then. Wrote on a sketch show, Sherman Showcase after that, and then a lot of award shows, special events, the ESPYs, NFL honors, the Winter Olympics. Kevin Hart, Snoop, and Kevin Hart and Kenan Thompson, end of the year wrap up, and other people's stand up specials and just all kind of stuff. So I, but being in those rooms and being able to create and work with networks and doing some of that work causes me to want to make my own thing and figure out what's a Rob Hayes TV show like, or a Rob Hayes movie like. I have an idea for a play, and I'm thinking about writing that. And they turn Mean Girls into a movie. They turn A Color Purple into a movie. Maybe that's the real way to see my vision first, and then use every like when you're in a play, you kind of like the audience imagination is kind of in there too, and so maybe then I'll be able to like really have my vision seen and everything, budget wise. So we'll
How
see.
was it writing for the ESPYs and sports events like that, where in a room where people can't seem to take jokes? What was that like?
Right. I mean, it's difficult because you wanna cross, not cross the line, but you wanna like toe the line, and you also wanna be funny and get that reaction, but that audience is tough, and they're there to be seen. They don't wanna look like they don't get the joke, but they also don't wanna be made fun of. They don't wanna be embarrassed, and also what they know about and what their reference point is always interesting to me. Like some things you think, oh, this is gonna hit, everybody knows about this, and then it might go flat. And then there's other things where it's like, ah, that might be too obscure, and then it rocks. So it's just, just trying to figure out what can cast the widest net, what can hit the most people.
That's good. And then what about something like Sherman Showcase? That show is just, I mean, for a comedy show, for a sketch type series, it is so pointed, it's so niche. It shouldn't have worked for as long as it did, but IFC let it live, and I think it, I loved everything about it.
I disagree. I wish it would have worked longer. Yeah, no, I mean that's my heart right there. I love Sherman Showcase, and Diallo and Bashir are two geniuses, and they basically were like, that especially the first season, just write whatever you think is funny, write what you've had on your mind, just kind of free, and then we'll figure out where to put things and how to put it together. And that's basically what they did. They just took the funniest stuff and figured out a way to weave it together, and it was magical. When I got the job, there was no, they were like, oh, maybe you'll be on it, maybe not. But it wasn't like, oh yeah, we got a writer performer. It's just I was trying to push a sketch, and me pushing the sketch was me doing a voice and doing a character. And then they're like, well, you got to play that, and then that just became a thing. Like, when I'm doing that, I'm thinking, all right, I'm gonna have to coach somebody else in the how to do this. But
Right.
yeah, it just ended up being me. And yeah, I'm so grateful for that opportunity. I don't know when I'll get another one like that to really use like everything as far as my knowledge of music and my way around jokes and sketch and everything. And also it was just a class. Like I learned so much. Like it was the greatest first job for sure.
Yeah, Bashir and Diallo are so funny, and it's so great to see Bashir, in big time movies, playing giant parts. And I talked to Diallo years ago, and he was one of the first interviews I did where it was like almost an hour, and it was just fantastic. It was just two guys just having a nice time, and I couldn't imagine working under them because they're so talented and really good at what they do.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun for sure. Like, yeah.
Now, well, so this, so go acting and performing inside of Sherman Showcase, did that open up anything else? Because I see you on stage, and the way you perform, you're a very funny guy, but you kind of had you have this, you just stand in the middle of the stage, especially on the Tonight Show and Late shows, you're just standing there, and everybody's forced to look at you, whereas for other comedians, we kind of have to follow them around the stage. Is that you being uncomfortable on stage? Is that you not being uncomfortable in front of the camera, or what is that? Because you're a very funny guy, but I want to see some animation about you.
I mean, you only when you're doing 5 minutes, you can't like pace around like this. This is no time for all that. So, in my special, you'll definitely see me acting out more. You'll definitely see me, moving around and being a little more animated. But also that's my style. I feel like I don't know, some comedians I like, they do the same thing. I feel like there's comedians that everybody's not the same. I feel like there's some people that move around. Like one of my favorite things to watch is Mike Epps' footwork, Mike Epps' mechanics, how he switches his the mic from one hand to the other seamlessly, like how he uses his body differently when he's doing one character versus when he's with himself versus when he's someone else. To me, that is part of it for him. But also, when I watch someone like Steven Wright, or when I watch someone like Dion Cole, I'm not thinking like, oh man, what are they doing with their body? I'm more thinking about the jokes. So it just depends on the style, I think. I don't know. I for the longest I didn't move and didn't, I guess, inflect my voice as much because I wanted to be a stronger writer, and I wanted the jokes to have the most pressure on them to be good, so that I could learn how to make good jokes. And then I think the past couple of years have been me kind of breaking out of that and just being more of a performer, I guess.
No, you're an excellent writer and a wonderful deliverer of jokes. It's very kind of like a new age Mitch Hedberg, kind of the way you're delivering your jokes. It's just so very, very, very funny and very quotable too. And you're completely right about Mike Epps, the way he delivers things. And he yeah, you're right, switching the hand and everything. I was watching your stuff. I was also reminded of you referenced Pryor earlier. I thought I just saw some Pryor clips last week, and he like looks out into the crowd, definitely acknowledges the people in the upper areas, and then Bernie Mac as well. He's in that giant suit sweating, and he pulls out a napkin and he wipes his face. I love those days of just really addressing the audience and treating them as if they're not just in the room with you, but they're on stage with you as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely that. There's definitely a moment in the special we kept in where one of my friends, one of my like best friends, was in the crowd, and I'm referencing me drinking, and then he kind of interjects, and then it kind of goes into a riff and everything. But yeah, there's always moments like that. I feel like social media has allowed me to be able to show how fun and how loose I can be on stage. And I think a lot of my clips that kind of get a great reaction are the ones where I'm just kind of interacting with the things people throw at me, or the things that people say, or the way people receive whatever I'm talking about.
And you're speaking of your social media, it's your the way you the amount you post and how you use it all is very good. And I know you're a young guy, and some older comedians don't really focus on that stuff, but some people our age and our age bracket also still don't focus on social in the way that they do. And I'm talking not just TikTok and Instagram, but also you have to use YouTube because you upload your podcasts there, and then now you're doing the comedy thing, the special. It's all so important now that if you're missing one aspect, then you're really going to miss out on a section of people who don't pay attention to everything else.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really rock with Facebook like that. I really don't, they kind of get the scraps that Instagram sends them. But yeah, no, really, it came from me doing workplace comedy with Kev on Stage and Tony Baker, and them tagging me in that post and me seeing how many people saw that. And it was like more people than saw than seen anything I ever posted of being on Instagram for like 11 years at that point. And it was just like, it just kind of showed me, all right, maybe you should kind of delve into this. And then I put captions on a clip once, and then and the numbers were kind of crazy. And then I just kind of got into it, and then I was, figuring out different ways of doing captions and stuff, and then started doing a podcast after that. And I had a podcast before, would always be like, we need to video this, we need to video this, and would never get the support for that. And so now I'm, kind of same like the special, producing a podcast by myself, editing it myself, putting it out myself. It's so funny because my day job before I moved to New York was I was the editor at CNN, and I was like, this is not my passion. My passion is stand up. I got to get out of this. Just to get right back to editing every morning, waking up early to edit. And it's like, my passion is jokes. I want to get the jokes out. I got to do this to get the jokes out,
It's funny. I just finished up a gig with CNN, and even though I didn't like it, I didn't have the choice to leave on my own. But it's still good. I'm still so very thankful to have worked with so many great people.
I don't know if I had the choice. I was waiting on that, like, you're a star. You got to get out of here. Like, I was waiting on that moment. But yeah, no, they my badge didn't renew. And then I was like, hey, can we talk or whatever? But at that point, I had started performing at colleges, and I was making a decent amount of money, but I wasn't ready to quit. And then, they just never responded. And then I never responded. And so, yeah. So, I mean, technically, I guess I still work there.
Oh, look, I'm gonna tell you right now, if you can log into the WB Screeners app, then you're doing better than me, because I as soon as I was gone from there, they were like, you cannot watch Wonka anymore. Which is unfortunate. You mentioned the captions thing. I can't, like, you're correct. It is something on social that's blown up, and I don't understand. Can you explain that to me? Because this
Sure.
all these videos I'm seeing with captions, and I'm just thinking, like, what the hell's going on?
People got jobs, but they don't work. So people are scrolling, and if you want them to receive the joke, they can read it. They can't, they can't necessarily watch it with the sound, but they can read it and still interact and respond. So I think that's why captions have taken off, because people who are in class, people who are in, at work, people who are, supposed to be doing something else, they're watching, they're reading, and they're still able to interact.
Okay. I mean, that makes a lot more sense than I would have put into it. Everything I see, it's just the fast captions, and I'm trying to figure, because I don't use social media, if anything, just to post, this stuff, and it just never made sense to me in the first place. Well, Rob, I don't want to take up too much more of your time. This has been fantastic. You are a very funny person, and I don't say
Oh,
that
thank you.
lightly. And I mean, it's just I'm excited to see this special, and I'm excited to see you blow up from this because it's well deserved, it's well earned, and you just did a fantastic job in your TV sets, and I'm ready to see this full hour come into shape.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm excited for people to see it. It's a little scary, but it's also exciting and fun. And yeah, I just hope people receive it. I hope people, I don't think there was a special like this when I was coming up, when I was a young man. And I hope somebody watches it and it makes them feel like, all right, I'm not alone. I felt like that. I feel like that right now. And that's dope that he's able to like own his story like that. So
Yeah, that's wonderful, and it's awesome that you can be so vulnerable, especially as a black man in the world where that's kind of looked down and seen like still even in 2024 kind of feminine, and weak or unmasculine or whatever. But this is gonna be fantastic, and yeah, I'm excited. But thank you so much for sitting down with me, and have a great rest of your day.
thank you. You have a great day too.
All right, see ya.
Peace.